Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast. And this will be part two of Confessions of a Lady Preacher, Secrets of the Ministry. So stay tuned for that. We want to let you know about next week's program. Hopefully next week I will have all the hosts of the Prophecy Zone radio network on, and we will be discussing the end times and all the events that are happening that pertain to Armageddon, World War III, the arrival of the Antichrist, the financial mess that the world is in. So we see so many signs of his coming, and we can only say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and get us out of here. But it's a kind of an odd thing, really, when you think about it, because as born-again believers, we do believe in heaven, but yet none of us are anxious to go there, as far as we don't want to die, and we don't want our loved ones to die. So although we believe in heaven and we believe it's a wonderful place, most of us are in no real hurry to get there. When you think about it, it's sad to think of people that we love passing away. And we know that Jesus Christ makes a home for us in heaven. But while we're here on the earth, we have to try to do what we can do to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to let you know that the chat room is open, and I do see a caller on the line, so I'll be taking that call. Caller, just hold on for a few minutes, and I'll be taking your call in about 2 minutes. So we see some news. There's so much news to tell you about, and I will be discussing that today. Also, I want to let you know about our website, propheticnews.com. There's many wonderful articles there. You'll have a good time going through most of them, and you'll find out some very interesting things to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we have a YouTube channel, and that YouTube channel is Jonah T for Tom 48, and there's some great videos there. Also, we're on Twitter. I don't spend that much time on Twitter, but you can hear us on Blog Talk Radio every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and on Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Prophecy Zone radio network. So before I get started here, I'm going to take this call and see what the caller has to say. Hello, caller.
Hello. Hello, Susan.
Yes? Who is this?
This is Steve from California.
Oh, hi, Steve.
Hi. I'm a regular caller. At least I've been listening for the past three weeks. I guess that makes me a regular. So,
well, that's good. Thank you for listening.
Yes. Well, I know I. The reason I started tuning in was because researching the tithing subject, and I saw your blogs come up, because I do a lot of blogging, and I'm just hoping that one day you'll invite me on as a guest, because I've really accumulated a great amount of knowledge on the subject, and hopefully we can get into that.
Yeah, and I would say in the next few weeks I've invited my guest Robin Hare back on, and we plan to do a program on tithing. So if you'd like to call in, just keep looking. I would say within the next 2 or 3 weeks I'll have her back on.
Okay, I am new to this format, this radio blogging. I know every time I call in, because I listen on the phone, I don't have any other way of following the program, and I call in, and it says if you want to get on the radio and talk to you, to press number one, but I have not pressed number one, and so I wonder what on your side tells you.
That, oh, well, I just see the number that there's somebody holding to get on the air.
Uh-huh.
So then I just click on the microphone. So I have no way of knowing, except can you see the chat room, or you call in on your phone?
No.
There's okay,
somebody
then.
Else on the line?
No. Usually if you wanted to type me a note in the chat room, then I would know. But I would say just to call in, look on the show, the upcoming shows, and there'll be a show in the next 2 or 3 weeks on tithing and giving. So you can call in then and join the discussion. How's that?
Okay, the chat room, how do I get into the chat room? I only see on the blog talk, it has the little arrow.
You have to sign in. You can either sign in as a guest.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, or click the sign in. And you might have to register, and then you can join the chat room. Otherwise, if you don't sign in, you can see the chat room, but you won't be able to write anything.
Oh, I won't be able to write anything.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
if anybody wants
to
join the chat room, you have to go to Blog Talk Radio, and if you go to my show page, Prophetic News, then you'll... And this particular program, you'll see the chat room on the bottom as you scroll down, and then you'll have to sign in. It'll say register or log in. But if you're not registered, you'll have to register so you can use the chat room. Otherwise, you can just see it, but you won't be able to make any comments.
So where are you located? Where's where do you do your radio show from? Just what
We're
state?
We're from Florida.
Florida.
The state of Florida, yeah.
Okay, so now
so
I have you both.
That's our time zone, Eastern Standard Time.
I'm what, 3 hours later in the West. But
yeah.
Yes, I look forward to your programs on the tithing. Hopefully I'll be able to contribute some to that.
Okay, then. Just call in
and
put you on.
Appreciate your program, and I hope you don't go anywhere, because we need your ministry, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you, Susan.
All right.
Bye.
God bless. Okay. Bye-bye. All right, then. So we just want to let you know that if you want to join the chat room, just go to the show page, Prophetic News, on Blog Talk Radio, and log in or register, and then you can make comments. And we appreciate your comments, your phone calls. We appreciate all that. So even if you have an opposing view, I don't mind. I mean, I don't care if somebody doesn't agree with me. I know for myself, being in the Word of Faith movement for over 15 years, I had people that didn't agree with the Word of Faith movement. They were still my friends. And actually, those people really helped me, because they gave me different books to read. And I can tell you, some of the books that really helped me to come out of the error that I was in, one particular book is called A Different Gospel. I can't remember the author right now, but that's an excellent book because the person that wrote that book was a I think he was on the board or a professor at ORU at one time, and he was doing a paper, I think, on the Word of Faith movement, and he came to find out there were so many errors, and that book really helped me because you couldn't deny he had all his facts straight. He lined everything up, and it was very, very interesting. Also, Seduction of Christianity, that book helped me. I think that was Dave Hunt. Christianity in Crisis, Hank Hanegraaff, which I don't totally agree with Hank Hanegraaff at this point, but that book was very good. And so there's some good people out there. God has good people. There's some bad people out there. And those are the people that we want to warn you about because there's many wolves out there taking advantage of the sheep, and God is not pleased with that. We believe in open confrontation because I can't call Eddie Long up on the telephone. He won't talk to me. I can't call Mike Murdoch up on the telephone. He won't talk to me. I can't call up Paula White on the telephone. She won't talk to me. I can't call TBN, Jan and Paul Crouch up on the telephone. They won't talk to me. So many of these people, they will not talk to you, even if you tried to get to them at a meeting to say something to them. Some of them have bodyguards. You can't even talk to them. You can't approach them. So I use the internet. I'm sure many of these people have heard my programs or have viewed my YouTube videos. So I can talk to them that way. And I hope that some of them take to heart what we're saying and change, because I know God had to change me. Now, I was in full-time ministry for many, many years and held hundreds of services around the world. So I was active. No, I wasn't famous or wealthy. I didn't go there. I thought about going there, but God stopped me. God stopped me, and I gave up full-time ministry in 1997. I took myself out of it because I didn't want to wind up selling the gospel for fame and fortune. And so I would say it's very difficult for most of these people to do what I did or do what others have done to make a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and for what's true. I don't preach for offerings anymore. I don't care if people give me an offering or not, because that doesn't matter. I'm not going to compromise what I have to say just to get an offering. And so that's where so many preachers go wrong, because you know that if you start teaching against tithing, or you're telling the truth about tithing, if you want to tithe, that's your business. I don't care. God doesn't care if you tithe or not, but you're not required to pay 10% to anybody. You're told to give with a cheerful heart and give because you want to and be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. We know, I don't know why people are so opposed to that kind of a thing, because it's called free will giving, and we have a free will. I can hear from the Holy Ghost. I don't need the pastor to hear from the Holy Ghost for me or anybody else. I can make my own decisions about who I want to bless. And we just see too much pimping of the gospel, and it's really quite sad. I wrote down a few things that I wanted to go over with you today, because during my time, 15 years in the Word of Faith movement, I traveled to many countries of the world, and I traveled to Tulsa, Oklahoma, attended one of Kenneth Hagin's Word of Faith conferences. While I was in Tulsa, I saw the, at that time it was when Oral Roberts had his hospital there, which since went bankrupt. I thought it was a great idea. There's nothing wrong with having a hospital where you pray for people, and I wasn't opposed to that. I was opposed to the way they raised the money, but also while I was in Tulsa, I visited Carlton Pearson's church. This is before Carlton Pearson, whether or not he was ever really saved, I don't know, because now he's become a universalist, and he believes that everybody gets saved in the end, whether they confess Jesus Christ or not. He's also openly accepted homosexuality as a lifestyle that's approved by God. I'm not saying he's a homosexual. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying he has said that you can be a Christian and a homosexual. Well, you can't. You can't be a Christian and an adulterer. You can't live in constant adultery and call yourself a Christian, because it's wrong. And we know that. We are supposed to know the difference between right and wrong. And we try to do what's right. So, you know, God set has rules. And we have to follow those rules, because after all, he is God, so he knows what he's talking about. We don't hate homosexuals, but why should anybody have to identify themselves by their sexuality? For instance, when I introduce myself, I don't say, "Hi, I'm Susan, and I'm a heterosexual." You know, that's not the way I define myself. I don't think anybody should define themselves by their sexuality. That's not who you are. Anyway, the Bible does speak against homosexuality, and we're seeing so much homosexuality in the church, or I don't know if that really is the church. I can't reconcile it. For instance, Eddie Long was accused of homosexual relations with some of the young men in his church, and he paid millions of dollars in hush money. He was being sued, and then instead of going to court to vindicate himself, he paid the hush money. But the Bible says your sin will find you out. Anybody could forgive Eddie Long if he would just come clean and repent and get right with God, get saved, or whatever he needs to do. But yet he denies what he's doing. And he's still being invited. He was just invited to speak at a conference in South Africa, which it's ridiculous that anybody would invite this man. But even years ago, when I was licensed and ordained with Roberts Lairdon's ministry, and Roberts was a young man from Tulsa, Oklahoma, who wrote a book. I think his book was called I Saw Heaven, and he claims that he went to heaven and he saw Jesus and he saw all these things in heaven. And yet Roberts wound up, he was pastoring a church in California, and he wound up sleeping with his youth pastor. And actually they were living together while he was pastoring, while any red flags didn't go up. Then these two guys are living together and teaching at a Bible college, pastoring a church, and the other one's a youth pastor. I don't know what happened to Roberts. I met him a few times, of course. Like I said, I was licensed and ordained with his ministry for a few years, but and I liked Roberts. He had a great personality. He preached holiness. He was single. I think he still is single, and he preached holiness. And you know, he really had some great sermons. He actually did a teaching series about preachers who fell and why they fail. And I was shocked when I found out that he actually got into homosexuality, and it wasn't just like a casual thing. He was living with this guy for a long time, and this is not gossip. This is something that he's confessed. It really hurt. It really hurt because I couldn't understand, knowing myself, what the call of God means when you know that you're doing something for God. You have a public life, and what will your legacy be? It's just like Zachary Timms. He passed away about a week ago, found dead in a hotel room in New York City, and they did an autopsy. Well, so far they couldn't find any natural cause of death, but they suspect that it was a drug overdose. The thing is, very sad, very, very sad, 42-year-old man with a big church, thousands of people, a regular on TBN. And why? What's his legacy? When you read the newspaper stories, the legacy is found dead with a envelope, a powdery substance in his pocket, and he had an affair with a stripper for a year. Well, I don't want that to be my legacy. I doubt that when I die, anybody will report on my death, but I wouldn't want my people to say, well, we remember Susan, we remember that she came to our church, or we heard her on a radio program, but remember that she did this or she did that. I don't want to be remembered that way. I think it's very important that we take our walk with God seriously, and the fact that we are out there publicly ministering to people. I don't want to be caught with drugs. I don't want to be caught in a hotel room with someone. I know those things are wrong. I made an agreement with the Lord a long time ago when I first gave my heart to the Lord that I was going to try with all my heart to live a righteous, holy life, and especially when it comes to the area of sexual sin. You have to be careful because those things will catch up with you. You have to remember, there's two people involved in sexual sin. So if you you can't cover it up, you might say, you might try to cover it up, but then the other person can come out years later when you're appearing on a TV program or going to a church to preach, and they say, well, yeah, I know about her or him. I was with them. And so God will forgive you. I'm not saying God won't forgive you. He will forgive you. But I think that if we're trying to do anything for God, we have to try to be careful that we don't bring a reproach to the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know none of us are perfect. We've all missed the mark. Yes, we all have. But I think we need to really try to develop the fruits of the Spirit and do what's right. It doesn't make any sense, and I don't understand it at all. I don't understand how someone can be a rich and famous preacher and have it all, and yet they can't control themselves. The works of the flesh have been made manifest, and they can't say no to sin. We have to say no to sin. There's other people who are watching our lives. There's other people that we influence, and we have to try to do our best to have a good testimony. So I'm surprised that it was very sad about Zachary Timms, and I don't know why he died. I would say that it was probably a drug overdose. I think that since they were releasing those details, when the toxicology report comes back, I'm not saying he was a drug addict. I don't know. I mean, it could have been just a one time he decided that he was going to go out and get himself some cocaine or whatever, and he dropped dead on the hotel room floor. Very, very sad. That shouldn't happen. But also, like I was saying about Robert Slaridan, I couldn't believe it about him. And that was very sad. He did take himself out of ministry for a long time. I guess his church dwindled down to nothing in his Bible college. But he's now back out with just about a full-time schedule and heading up a Bible school in London at Kensington Temple, one of the biggest charismatic churches in London. But I couldn't understand that. Couldn't figure that one out. But fame is a very tempting thing. And money, the love of money. It's not money itself, but it's the love of money is the root of all evil, the love of money. Also, during my time in full-time ministry, I was invited to preach at Happy Church a few times for their singles, at their singles conferences. I think I did three or four of them. And, of course, Marilyn Hickey and her husband, Wally, were the pastors there. But I only met Marilyn briefly. I didn't really know her, but I liked her. I thought there was another lady that she could quote the word. Marilyn, she could quote books of the Bible by heart. She knew the word of God. And she was seemed like a very pleasant, happy person. But a few years ago, Marilyn had a nervous breakdown. And I asked the Lord about that. Why did she have a nervous breakdown? And I believe with all my heart that God was trying to get her attention because I was alarmed a few times when I would call to Marilyn Hickey's prayer line for prayer, and they wouldn't pray for me unless I gave them my name and my address to sign up for their mailing list. Well, you know why they wanted to put you on their mailing list, so they could solicit money from you and start sending you appeal letters. Well, I thought that was really awful, that I had to sign up for a mailing list to get prayer. In other words, we'll pray for you, but you're going to have to pay for it down the line. And somebody was telling me that the same thing with CBN when they called the 700 Club for prayer, and they wouldn't pray for her until she put her name on the mailing list. Well, don't have a prayer line. Don't have a prayer line if you don't really – don't use the prayer line as a fundraising gimmick. It's disgusting. And so many of these ministries, that's the only reason they have a prayer line, so that they can get your name and address and send you an appeal letter. So don't have a prayer line if you don't really want to pray for people. Don't bother, because we don't need to be charging people then yet to pray for them. That's one of the confessions of a lady preacher, is watch out for the prayer line. If they make you give your name and your address, hang up, pray for yourself, or find somebody at church to pray for you. Because you see that we can't have to stay away from people that are what I call pimps in the pulpit. If they're trying to pimp you for money for ministry, then get away from these people. Either these people need to repent or go away. Just go away. Get another job. But don't use the gospel of Jesus Christ for your own gain to take advantage of people that are suffering and that are hurting. There's no place for that. And I think that we need to make a change and boycott these ministries. Just boycott them. If you see them, if you happen to be in one of their meetings, go up to them or whatever and have a word with them if you can get one, and just tell them what they're doing is wrong when they start with this seed faith and give me $1,000 and God will bless you. It's just like I heard Mike Murdoch the other day, and he was saying, if what I have said about seed faith is not the truth, then let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I'm only saying this for Mike Murdoch's gain, well, you know he's lying right there, because he's telling you to send your money to him. You have to give the $58 blessing or the $1,000 blessing to him in order for God to bless you. But if he really believed that, that you can sow a seed and God will meet your need, well, then he would tell you to give it to your next-door neighbor or send it to a missionary. He wouldn't tell you to give it to him. So Mike Murdoch's a liar, and I'll say it because he is, and he needs to repent. But you know that sometimes we do have to confront people. I went to a church in Colorado, and the pastor, we were at a wedding one time, and he was drinking champagne at the wedding. And there was a few people in our congregation that were alcoholics. Now, they were having a problem with alcohol. So I had mentioned it to the associate pastor about the drinking, and only because, now, I didn't care if he had a drink, if he wanted a drink at home. That's his business, you know. But in public, in front of your congregation, when there's people having a problem with drinking, I'm not advocating drinking because I don't, I mean, I don't advocate drinking. No, I don't advocate drinking. But anyway, I had mentioned it to the associate pastor just because that a few people had commented to me that they were having a problem with drinking, and yet the pastor was drinking. And so then the associate pastor mentioned it to the pastor, and he was angry at me. I mean, I have to say, he probably hated me. I don't know if he still does. He disliked me for a long time after that. And he did a few things to me to try to hurt me, to try to get back at me for that. Now, I didn't do that because I didn't like him. I did it because there was people in our church that were alcoholics. They were having a problem with alcohol. They couldn't take one drink. And yet to see the pastor drinking in public in front of them, that was very difficult, because then they could rationalize in their own mind that, well, look, if he can drink, I can drink too. And so the Bible says that if we're going to do something to cause our brother to stumble, not to do it. So that's why I say, if he wanted to have a glass of champagne at home, and not that I advocate drinking, because I don't, but he wouldn't have hurt anybody, only himself. And as people will say, well, if you have an issue with a brother, go to the brother. Yes, I believe you should go to the brother. But it's very hard for people to receive correction, especially pastors, for some reason. I don't know. They get this thing in their head that you can't approach them. They get this Messiah complex where they think they can do no wrong. And but it was okay. But yeah, it's okay for them to come to you if you're doing something, or they think you're doing something, and you have to receive the correction from them, but yet they won't receive it from you. But the Bible says we're to submit one to another, so we should be able to tell each other things. But it's very difficult to approach someone that has a public ministry, especially a famous public ministry. They will get offended, and they will try to hurt you. I saw that in another church that I was in Bradenton, Florida, where they had many, many conferences, and some of their favorite conference speakers were people like Mike Murdoch and Miles Monroe, and some other of the pulpit pimps. And No, I tried to approach the pastor a few times about where is it in the Bible that we have to give people money to get God to give us miracles. Well, that's not in the Bible. We don't have to pay for blessings. We don't have to sow seeds and try to make God do things for us. And so instead of, you know, praying about it or trying to find out if what he was doing wrong, he didn't care. He could have cared less that he was inviting these people and they were basically conning the people in the church. And so then they get angry at you and then they try to find a way to make you look bad, to come against you. Now, I actually had every year that I was at this church for 3 years, and every year I would have a conference there at the church that I sponsored, I paid for. And the third year that I had the conference, the pastor actually tried to undermine me by going to some of my speakers, my guest speakers, and trying to get them not to appear at my conference. And even he wouldn't even announce the fact that I was having a conference. He wouldn't even announce it. We were having it on the opening night happened to be on a church night. I was using another room in the building. And he wouldn't even announce it from the from the pulpit that I was even having a conference. I had been at this church for 3 years. I had actually signed an agreement when I joined this church that I was to be a member. I had to sign a piece of paper saying that to be a member, I had to give 10% of my income. So I was giving my 10%, and I was a faithful member. And they had known me for 3 years, or did they really know me? No, I doubt it, because they never really took the time to know me. But anyway, I could see where he started to try to undermine things that I was doing. And that was terrible. I have to tell you, that was terrible. But you know what? God, no matter what people try to do to you, God will vindicate you. Now, I wound up leaving there. And just recently, the head of the ministry there, the father, I guess he's probably 80 years old, and, you know, very lovely man. He, all of a sudden, he's being accused of child molestation that had been going on for 3 years with a young girl, an 11-year-old girl, and yet people didn't stop going to church there. They're yet to have a trial. From the evidence that's been displayed, the police report, the phone conversations, and it looks like he did it. Of course, I'm going to wait to see the what happens at the trial, but there was a copy of a phone call that the young girl made to him where he basically confesses what he did, but yet they try to cover it up. The only reason I could think that this man would do this kind of thing is because he was getting Alzheimer's and he didn't know what he was doing. From the man that I knew when I was there, I wouldn't think that he would ever do such a thing. But why? Why did this happen? And why did they try to cover it up? Is there any reason why any church should try to cover up any accusation of child molestation? No, we shouldn't try to cover these things up. I don't care who it is. If there's been an accusation, the accusation has to be thoroughly investigated. Both parties, especially if you have a church and there's children attending the church, I certainly wouldn't want my child in a church where the elder was accused of molesting the children and then he's still there preaching in the pulpit. No, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I don't understand why anybody's even still going there. If they try to, bring the evidence, let's hear both parties. And let's find out if he's guilty. If he is guilty, then he needs to sit down and he needs to be taken out of public ministry. And whatever else, whatever other kind of punishment goes along with it. If the man was getting dementia and he didn't know what he was doing, then that should be admitted. But why try to cover things up? We don't try to cover up child molesting. We don't do those kind of things. That is terrible. And why do we see so much perversion in the so-called church today? And we see so much of it because when you start getting into error, when you start teaching another gospel, it's just like Nebuchadnezzar. He wound up crawling on the ground with his hair was wild and his fingernails grew long, and he was crawling on the ground like an animal until he obeyed God and repented. So God will always try to get your attention. You can't take the gospel and use it for your own gain. You just can't do that. And if you do that, you're going to wind up losing your mind and becoming a heretic, basically. And we see this happening. If you manage to turn on some of these so-called Christian television programs, which aren't Christian, they've long ago departed from the faith. And you see, when they start selling the gospel and selling blessings to raise money, they start losing their mind. They start going off. Because if you have any of God left inside of you and you start doing these things, eventually it has to drive you crazy because the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart and he's trying to tell you, convict you and get you back to loving the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter if you have money or you get an offering or whatever. You're just doing the ministry because you love people and you realize that what we have, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is a saving gospel. It's a healing gospel. And what we have is so precious, and then to go and sell it, and then you claim to know God, and God is convicting you. He's giving you dreams. He's giving you visions. He's trying to shake you and get you to repent, but yet, no, you won't repent. You keep staying in the deception. You keep staying with the manipulating. And what happens? You turn into a drug addict. You turn into an alcoholic. You turn into an adulterer or a fornicator or a homosexual or whatever, because you can't stand the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and you try to run from it. And so you run into all these alternative lifestyles, and that's what we see happening. That's what we see happening. This is nothing. What we've seen with the death of Zachary Timms and the Eddie Long scandal, the other scandals that are yet coming, God says that your sin will find you out. And trust me, the Lord will try to cover your sins. He will try to protect you so that people don't find out and it's not in the newspaper and it doesn't make the evening news, because God is merciful. But eventually, for your own good, he will uncover that and your sin will find you out. And it's much worse. It's much worse after it's revealed. It's a lot easier to take yourself and put yourself down on your knees and cry out to God and ask God to help you. Ask him to help you. Swallow your pride. Pride is an ugly thing. Pride is what happened to Satan when he was in heaven. He was cast down because of his pride. And most people that achieve any kind of fame in the ministry have so much pride. So much pride. And God hates pride. It's an ugly thing. It really is an ugly thing. But we see so much of it. Don't go chasing after these preachers. Don't go chasing after some healing ministry to get a healing. Only Jesus Christ can heal you. You can stay home and pray for yourself for free. You don't have to send anybody a seed faith offering or go over to a miracle crusade and get Benny Hinn or somebody to lay hands on you, because you can lay your hands on yourself and get healed. I believe Jesus is a healer. He's healed me many times. I've seen him do miracles. I am Pentecostal. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe Jesus Christ is alive, and he heals people today just like he did when he walked on the earth. He's still in the miracle-working healing business. Yes, he is. He is a good God. Hallelujah. And he has good things for people. But we don't sell it. And we don't get people chasing after us like we're some great thing with some great power to do things for people. God says he uses the foolishness of preaching, 1 Corinthians 1:21. And the only thing I'm a voice, but I wouldn't be a voice if I didn't have a Bible. And so I can open my Bible, and I can quote scripture, and I want to thank God that he lets me do it, but it has nothing to do with me, because I'm just a voice, and I have a Bible. You have a Bible. Benny Hinn has a Bible. Paul Crouch has a Bible. John Hagee has a Bible. They all have Bibles, and all they do is they're Bible readers, but they're nothing great. They're just people. So there's only one great one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anybody tries to tell you any different, stop making idols out of preachers. I remember being in rooms or being in back rooms with famous preachers, and nobody wanted to talk to me. I was standing in the room, and I would start a conversation with someone, and they didn't even really want to talk to me. They were just so enamored with the famous preacher and just were waiting to get a few words from him. I actually have been in situations where people were stampeding. They would actually step on your feet or whatever, knock you out of the way so they could get to say a word to some famous preacher. Well, and that's ridiculous, because they're just human. And if you hung around them, and some famous people that had been around, I found out pretty quick that they were just as normal as anybody else. I remember that being invited to go to a well-known evangelist's house. And, when I got to his house, I thought, wow, he's so spiritual. I was still a young Christian at the time, and I thought, oh, he's so spiritual. I bet when I get there, we're going to, you know, probably be reading the Bible and quoting scripture, and oh, we're going to have a good spiritual time. When I got there, he was sitting there watching a football game. I love football too, but you know, there was nothing spiritual about that. He was watching a football game, and we were sitting around, and we were having snacks, and he was yelling and screaming at the football game. And I said, wow, oh, he's just a man. Just a man like everybody else. A single man, had the same kind of, I didn't know why I was invited there. I found out later I was invited there because he was interested in me as a date or whatever. So I thought, wow, you know, he's just a normal man, not a God, a single man. And so they're not spiritual all the time. They're not just, you know, spiritual all the time with carrying the Bible and quoting scripture all the time. No, these are human beings. They're normal people, and they make mistakes. But you have a Bible, I have a Bible, anybody can quote scripture. So that doesn't make anybody anything special. But some of the other things that confessions of a lady preacher. Now, I had lived in Denver, and actually, I was telling you all last week that I had a television program in Denver and the Aspen area, and I had used the crew from TBN, a great bunch of people, the producer and the cameraman, or the director and the cameraman, to help me with my TV program. I couldn't afford to use TVN Studio. It cost too much money. Most people, average people in the ministry, can't afford to use these studios. They build them because they want the other ministries in the town to use the facilities, but yet you couldn't afford to use it. I think here was a million-dollar building, a television production studio in Denver. Excellent production studio, beautiful cameras and facility. But yet it was closed for the most part all week long. Nobody really used it. On Friday morning, they did a local program there, so it was used then. But I think it was $300 or $500 an hour just to use the facility, and there was a three-hour minimum. So imagine $1,500 just to produce a half-hour program. It would cost you $6,000 a month. Fortunately, I was able to use the local cable access equipment there in Denver, the cameras and the studio. So I couldn't afford to use TBN Studio, so much for a ministry that people's donations built, but yet they weren't offering it and saying, okay, here's a reasonable price to use this studio. No, they wanted to charge you something like $1,500. And so only rich and famous people could use the facility, not just average people in the ministry that wanted to preach the gospel. Yet they had this million-dollar building that they claimed, oh, look at our television facility there in Denver. And it was hardly ever being used. It was just sitting there for the most part, nobody was using it. And but yet they want you to think, why in the world does you only need one studio. You don't need 10 studios. They have so many studios in this country, multi-million-dollar buildings that cost a fortune to keep up. Anybody that owns a house knows that it costs a small fortune just to maintain a small house, never mind these large studios. And all they need is one studio. They have all these studios that they never use. They produce a program daily that's five programs. They can't be in their 10 or 15 studios just wasting people's money. They just opened up a biblical theme park here in Florida in the Orlando area. And I heard the other day, now just imagine this, that they were asking one of the players, they have plays there, and they were asking the guy that plays Jesus, tell us about what you have new over there at the biblical theme park. And he said, well, we just opened up a wax museum. Now, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, wow, that is really necessary. Now, you know, if you're going to do some soul winning and you want to really help people, what you need to do is open up a wax museum. Yeah, that is very, very necessary. They don't care how they spend your money. Oh, they need money to preach the gospel. Oh, they've got to have millions. They're worth over $1 billion. How much money does it take to preach the gospel? I could stand out on a street corner and preach the gospel. That doesn't cost anything. I can go to the nursing home and preach the gospel. That doesn't cost anything. I can go on YouTube and preach the gospel. That doesn't cost anything, except I have to have internet access. But I can do that. I can reach thousands of people. It doesn't cost me anything. Yes, it does cost money in some situations to preach the gospel. So that's fine. If you want to support that, that's fine. But why should we have to be supporting a wax museum? Oh, dear. No, that I couldn't believe. I couldn't believe that. But there was a preacher that was on the other night. I happened to be scanning the channels and saw this, calls himself Bishop George Bloomer. Now, he was on TBN, and he was telling everyone that he had recently had a nervous breakdown, And now this is one of these famous preachers, whether he's, I don't know, T.D. Jakes or Eddie Long is his spiritual father or something like that. And he pimps people, yes. I mean, he was one of those that he sells miracles for seed faith gifts. And so he has a nervous breakdown. Now he's trying to figure out why he had a nervous breakdown. He was taking Prozac, and then he's telling people that it got so bad he had to crush up the Prozac and he had to snort them. Well, I'm kind of yelling at the TV, like, George, I know why you're having a nervous breakdown. It's like I told you before about Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, and you can go and read that story in the Old Testament where he lost his mind because he didn't obey God, and he wound up crawling on all fours like an animal. And God will try to get your attention. And you think that God sat him down and was trying to get this man's attention. And yet, no, he didn't change. He didn't change. He was on the program, and the host, all the host was doing was flattering him. And whenever he would make a comment, some kind of comment that sounded spiritual, the host would say, oh, Bishop, that's just wonderful. And I'm thinking, like, why doesn't he just call him George? He keeps calling him Bishop. And if anybody has to have a title, if they insist that they have to have a title, that's nothing but pride. Why can't you call, I don't care if you call me by my first name. That's who I am. I'm Susan. Why should anybody be opposed to you calling them by their first name and demand that you call them by a title? That's ridiculous. Just, you have to come back down to earth and remember, you're nothing. If it wasn't for Jesus, you would still be nothing. It's only because of him that we're anything. It's only because of Jesus. So that doesn't make us anything special. And I'm thinking, this guy, yeah, he went through literal torture. Imagine this man having a nervous breakdown, getting a divorce, winding up snorting Prozac, and he still didn't get it. And it's just like Marilyn Hickey when she had her nervous breakdown. She still didn't get it because she went back and she was still selling miracles and selling blessings, and they don't stop what they're doing. I don't understand that. I'm thinking, why? Maybe some of these people really knew God at one time. Maybe some of them still love God. Why don't they get it? Why can't they see what they're doing and try to make a change? Why can't we see more repentance and more people? You know, the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Why don't we see more pure hearts for just preaching the gospel, just because we love God and we want to help people? Because we remember what Jesus Christ did for us. We remember when we were lost and we didn't have God and what he did for us. Do we remember that? Yes, we remember it. And we can't forget it. And so we want to tell people the good news. And the good news is you must be born again. You must be born again. You must repent of your sins. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and save your life. Ask him. He loves you. I got to go. But tune in next week, okay? It was a blessing. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.